Thanks, Rob. It's Download here, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, coming up, we're going to talk with MMA fighter King Mo. He's got a big event, a big fight on Friday at the Allstate Arena. James Hirth joins me in studio right now. He's a reporter who covers MMA and combat sports. Joins us regularly on the Download. Great to see you, James. How are you?
Great. Great to be here. Thank you.
All right. So, you know, before we get to King Mo, who's going to be in studio, you know, this is a big deal. Bellator 175. Talk about this company, because this is something I don't know a lot. And I've said this before when you and I talk. I don't know the first thing about mixed martial arts or combat sports. It's like one of the things that I want to learn more about. So where does Bellator fit in when we talk about mixed martial arts?
Well, Bellator is the number two dog. We all know who the number one dog is. So Bellator is right there. And they've really matured as an organization, much like a fighter, one that, you know, develops themselves. They've grown as a company. Started in 2008, actually with an office here in Chicago, and did some work on some small cable stations, you know, to grow their brand. Moved over to Spike in 2013, right around that time. They originally had a tournament format, which is kind of the old school way to do it. Now they have their own champions, their own weight divisions, you know, all of that.
Right.
Even with the tournaments, there were champions, but they've kind of adapted and grown and evolved.
Into almost like they've turned into like a wrestling, like we know of boxing and wrestling, right?
Correct. Yeah. So, and they are, you know, at one point in time, it was kind of the promotion that was growing. So fighters maybe who are a little past their prime would go to Bellator, but now they have top flight talent. They can command, you know,
how many leagues are there when we talk about this? What are the ones that, I mean, are we talking 10, 15? What are the most influential leagues in MMA?
If you can kind of look at it like the NFL. Okay, so the NFL is obviously the big dog. There's the Canadian Football League, and there's some other leagues. Mm-hmm. Same with MMA. Really, in the United States, there's two major promotions. What happened was the king dog, without, you know, the elephant in the room, the UFC, kind of swallows up its competition. There's a number of promotions that they kind of just ate. Rather than compete against them, they
just absorb them, right?
They just absorb them. Yeah.
Right.
Well, and they gut them. They kind of took all the athletes out of it. Bellator has been able to remain on their own and compete with the UFC as far as athletes go. So really, as far as the major organizations in the United States, it's the UFC and Bellator.
And it's interesting, too, because when we talk, and we'll talk with King Mo coming up here in just a moment, you know, and you think about Rampage Jackson and some of the other fighters that are in Bellator, these are top-level fighters. These are fighters you could see in other places. They've been offered contracts other places. Why does a fighter choose Bellator if they can fight in other places or go to the WWE and do wrestling? What is it about Bellator that brings these fighters to them?
A few things. One might be the freedom of fighting for sometimes other promotions and things like that. With UFC, a lot of times you're locked into a contract. You can only fight for that organization. You can only carry the sponsors that are approved by the UFC. They own, you know, your likeness. You know, there's a lot of things that are very, very controlling organization. And not to say that Bellator doesn't have its own, you know, level of requirements, but there is a certain level of freedom in that organization. They also present more opportunities in that they do have kickboxing. So they run regular kickboxing shows if that's something you want to do. They have partnered with some other organizations. There's a big event in Japan called Ryzen. It used to be the major event, probably the best MMA event in the world, used to be called Pride, the Pride Fighting Championships. And Pride is no longer here. The UFC bought it and gutted it, and it is no more.
Right.
But Japan is a stronghold of MMA. They love their fighting sports.
When you talk about a Bellator and its relationship with Spike, I mean, Spike TV obviously giving it a platform that you know, an audience can find at a certain level. Talk about that. Talk about how important it is for any sort of mixed martial arts company promotion to have a broadcast partner.
Oh, absolutely. Because you need that platform of competition. And again, it's think about someone trying to compete with the NFL in a pro football setting. Virtually impossible. Where's all the money? You know what I mean? We know, you know, where that's going. So to have a partner like Spike, to have a weekly, monthly platform to show your stars and grow your brand, what could be better.
How often does Bellator or UFC, how often do they get through Chicago? I mean, when you think about the big, because they're playing Allstate Arena, which is a big deal. I mean, that's a huge venue for this kind of event. How often do you see these leagues, these promotions come through this area?
Unfortunately, it's only like on an annual basis. UFC is likely once a year in Chicago. Bellator, I think, has been away maybe for 7 years. I think they've only been here like three times, you know, which is odd, just that they had a home base here. Right. But yeah, they haven't been here in a while. This is a big card, though, with some quality fighters and some local talent, which is also good. And that's another benefit to having a big show is obviously they need to feed, you know, fill in the early bouts, the undercard. They use a lot of local talent. So guys that maybe wouldn't get a chance, maybe they're fighting in Indiana or Iowa, you know, on some small show, you know, just to get some experience. Well, maybe if, you know, you get that phone call, you get to fight on the Bellator undercard that's going to be shown on Spike.
That's right.
You
on know, Friday
it's a big deal.
At the Allstate Arena here in the Chicago area. Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. King Mo in studio. We'll talk with the champ about his life in MMA and wrestling and what makes him tick inside and outside the cage. James Hirth, of course, a regular here on The Download who covers MMA and combat sports. We'll take a quick break. King Mo coming up. Stay with us.
I'm King Mo, like heavyweight champ. Play crazy, you took out in the first round. Like my Salas, Mario Nudnick.
All right, this Friday night, the Allstate Arena Center Stage will be transformed into the center cage as the Bellator 175 comes to town, presented by Spike. Bellator, of course, one of the premier MMA leagues around. The heavyweight main event is a highly anticipated rematch between Rampage Jackson and my guest tonight, King Mo. King Mo, also known as Muhammad Lawal, is a mixed martial artist who's a former champion in other leagues. But he got his start as a wrestler in high school in Plano, Texas, and after that was a Big 12 champion in his weight class when at Oklahoma State. He wrestled for the U.S. national team, and he moved to mixed martial arts in 2008, and he is my guest tonight in studio. King Mo, pleasure to meet you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
And James Hirth, of course, a regular sticking around to ride shotgun tonight.
Let me ask you,
I'm fascinated. I mean, we were just talking about Bellator doesn't come to Chicago that often. For you to have this opportunity for this highly anticipated rematch to happen in a big city in Chicago, what's it mean to you as a mixed martial artist, but also as a wrestler, as a kid who has always sort of, you know, been ready for the stage?
You know, one thing I like about Chicago is I had a wrestling match here, man, years ago. It was the Team USA versus Russia. And I came here, and I was the only person to win, you know what I'm saying? So Chicago holds a good place in my heart, you know. And they have a team called the Harvey Twisters. They showed me a lot of love out of Harvey, Illinois. But for Bellator to come to Chicago, it kind of legitimizes Bellator even more. Because before, when Bellator first started, when I first got involved in Bellator, we were going to rinky-dink, you know, cities like Thackerville, Oklahoma, and Mulvane, Kansas, and just places you never heard of.
Right.
And now we're growing, we're bigger. We got Scott Coker on as the president. We came to Chicago, and it shows that we're you know, coming to the top.
It's quite a career arc. And I think about this, you know, we'll talk about what to expect from the fight this weekend. But for you, as I mentioned, I mean, a wrestler in high school, wrestler in college, you know, and I thought about it, and I guess it never occurred to me that a lot of wrestlers who spent their time, you know, working in non-professional situations, whether high school, Olympics, national team, that kind of stuff, you know, when they're done wrestling, when their time is up and they have to go pro is could be mixed martial arts.
Yeah, pro is mixed martial arts pretty much. You know, when I was wrestling, we got paid $1,000 to win tournaments, $1,500 to win nationals. We go to overseas to Turkey or I've been to Iran, Azerbaijan. We win tournaments there. We might get $3,000 cash on the stand, maybe $4,000, and then Team USA would match it. So we got paid to win. And then once it's all said and done, like, there's no income coming in from nowhere. So you're like, when I was done wrestling, I was broke. I couldn't afford to even pay for my bags to fly to my fight in Japan. It was tough. So I just,
what were your options? What were you thinking?
I could go back to wrestling and coach and make $1,000 a month, if that, or I could fight, you know, or I could try to get a normal job and work my way from the bottom to the top. But at that time I was 28 years old, and I wasn't trying to start from the bottom again because I did that in wrestling. So I just took, you know, started training. After 6 weeks of training, took my first fight on a week's notice in Japan, fought that and won, and here I am.
Unfortunately, wrestling is one of the sports that the professional level is considered kind of a joke. You know what I mean? When you look at professional wrestling, when somebody says that, you know, they think of something that's staged. You know, when you do professional football or professional baseball, obviously it's the highest level of competition. But with wrestling, it has that attachment, you know, that stigma that it's a joke. So for you to try, you did do real professional wrestling, that short-lived promotion, which was interesting, but just didn't catch on. You won a title, right? The 184-pound title?
Yeah, real pro wrestling, yes. Yeah, beat a lethal hard, beat two Olympians, a national champion, and it was tough. But I also did professional wrestling with TNA, and here's the thing: people don't realize. People might call it a joke, but that is, professional wrestling is so hard. Like, amateur wrestling is the hardest thing I've ever done. Professional wrestling is the second hardest, because, you know, you have to put your trust in another man to protect you. And if the person's tired, you can't trust them. You're like a stunt man,
right?
You know, you're hitting the ropes, you're jumping over the ropes, jumping through the ropes, getting body slammed, getting thrown to a table, hit with a chair in the back. You're out there to entertain. I've seen guys tear their ACLs early in the match and have to finish the match with a torn ACL. Where in MMA, you tear your ACL, wrestling, call timeout, or you just tap out. You know, but professional wrestling, you have to entertain by all means.
And that's a really interesting point, the idea that people don't think of professional wrestling as a team sport. But the two wrestlers that are in a ring and you know, going at it, you have to trust each other, because it may not be quote-unquote fake, but it is choreographed in the way that if you're going to do a move, you both need to know what you're doing.
And here's the thing that's crazy. Sorry about that again. The matches aren't rehearsed. All they do is they talk about them in the back, and then they just freestyle them. So I'll tie up with you, I'll be like, all right, shoot me off the ropes. And you shoot me off the ropes. You talk while in the ring. And you have to trust your opponent. Wow. Because you see guys like Stone Cold Steve Austin and other people get injured, you know, when they let a guy do a pile driver on them. You know, you seen AJ Styles do the Styles Clash, and he broke a guy's neck in Japan. So you have to know what you're getting yourself into, know how to take the bump, and trust in your partner that he won't hurt you.
Let's talk about that, about preparing yourself. Because a lot of that, you know, it's interesting with the freestyle. I mean, let's move off of pro wrestling. Let's get back into what you do, which is MMA.
Yeah.
You know, preparing yourself to be a wrestler, to move into an arena in which it is much more hand-to-hand. It is, you know, I mean, they're going for the death blow. What do you have to do to prepare yourself as an athlete to get ready for an experience that is much more cage match than sort of organizing the U.S. national team as a wrestler?
Well, the main thing with the MMA, especially starting and preparing, is you have to get with a good team. You have to get with people that know what they're doing. Because when I first got into it, I got with a guy, he had great intentions, but he didn't really know what he was doing. And I trusted in him. And, you know, I fought injured a lot. We trained stupid, and I realized I made a mistake when I saw other teams. You know, I was watching other people. After a fight, I'd go travel somewhere and train somebody. And, you know, and I'm like, man, these guys are doing something different. We should try that. And then I went to another team, and I was like, they're doing something different. I'm like, maybe I'm doing things wrong. And the thing about, if you want your career to last, you have to have a good team, good training partners, have a good system. And you have to keep your mind open, because things are always changing in the sport. You know, you don't want to get stuck in one mode and then the sport evolves before you and you're taking losses.
Well, I would assume that your history with the wrestling teams, the U.S. national team, your discipline in college and in high school comes in handy in that regard. You understand that there is preparation, that there is training. There's a right way to do things. There's a discipline involved in training for something like mixed martial arts.
Oh, yeah, you know what? It helped me, but at the same time, like, I just knew the wrestling aspect. I watched boxing. I loved boxing, but I didn't understand the kickboxing aspect. I didn't understand the sparring aspect. I knew, like, you know, in wrestling, we wrestle live, but we're not punching each other. You know, I didn't know much about headgear. You know, I didn't know about any of that. I found out the hard way as I started training, and I started realizing I was making mistakes when I'd go watch people that have been doing it for years train. And that's when I realized, like, okay, I like what I'm doing, but I got to make changes, and maybe I should get with this team. And when you get with a good team, you know, you can take your game to a whole new level.
Wrestling is considered one of the best bases for mixed martial arts because of the competitive aspects and because of there's so much grappling involved, stand up and ground. But the element that is missing is the striking. They don't hit each other. So that is something that, you know, you have to cross train.
Did you have to learn that? I mean, did you have that instinct in you to strike? I mean, do you understand? Or did you, it was just like, okay, I'm just going to learn how to punch.
Well, no, the thing is, like, I remember I was a big boxing fan, so I'd go by the boxing gym a little bit when I was younger, and I learned a jab, and I learned a cross, and I learned a hook. But I never really stuck with it. I just show up and just play around, and, you know, and I got in a few fights here and there. So I kind of knew what it's like to get hit. There are wrestlers out there that are great wrestlers, but the moment you ball your fist up and just throw a punch at them, they turn into cowards, and they turn their head, and they can't react. So you have to actually, like, get used to it. So you have to train that way. You have to, you know, put some headgear on, spar, do drills, get your eyes open, get your awareness right, because if you're not used to that, then, you know, you're going to be lost.
Muhammad Lawal is known as King Mo. He's the wrestling, or he's part of the big show that is going to be the Bellator 175. The rematch that everybody's looking forward to with Rampage Jackson coming up at the Allstate Arena on Friday night. Let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll get tonight's news. We'll come back and we'll talk about that match, what to expect. I mean, you're actually fighting outside of your class. Moving up to heavyweight just to get this opportunity at a rematch. We'll talk about, you know, what it takes to fight at the level that you fight at. King Mo in studio, James Hirth as well. We'll take a break. Stay with us. Thanks, Rob. This Friday night, Allstate Arena, turning into a cage match. The Bellator 175 comes to town. Bellator, one of the premier MMA leagues in the world. The heavyweight main event, the highly anticipated rematch between Rampage Jackson and my guest tonight, King Mo in studio, James Hirth as well here. We're talking about mixed martial arts on the download tonight. It's fascinating to me because, you know, this is watching all the press conferences and all the media that's put together for this fight. I mean, there's a desire on your part to get back in the cage with Rampage Jackson. What is it about this fight that attracts you? I mean, is it just the payout?
Well, it's not just the payout, but I feel like there are quite a few fights. There's probably about three fights that I lost that I really feel like I won, and even the media agrees with me. And with Quentin, it's one of them. You know, he asked for a rematch before the results were read. He looked shocked when he won. And I think he thinks he's better than me. And I'm there to prove that I'm better than him. And the gap has actually widened since we first met. So I want to prove a point and make a statement when I beat him.
Now, a lot of MMA fighting, especially in Bellator, is weight class. You're not in the same weight class anymore, or ever were. I mean, he's a bigger guy. You've waived that and said, I'm okay with fighting at heavyweight. What's the advantage and disadvantage of fighting in a different weight class?
The advantage is, you know, you might have more speed, you know, more agility, better cardio. But the disadvantage is the size if you're giving it up. And it depends on your style more than anything, because since I can wrestle, I can control where the fight goes. And with the technique, I can actually, if he tries to wrestle me, I can actually tire him out by just wrestling back and playing defense and picking my shots. So it just depends on your style, you know. And because if I was a bully style fighter and I was trying to fight him, it would backfire because he's a bully as well and he's bigger. So you have to be smarter when it comes down to it.
Well, your first fight with Rampage did take place at 205. Yeah. So he had to make that weight. Now he's jumped up. His last few fights, he's gotten bigger and bigger. And you've taken advantage of that on social media.
A lot of jokes in his direction, right?
Do you see? He said he's bigger and stronger. Do you really see any advantage for him coming in? I mean, what is he going to come in? 260, somewhere around there.
He says 260. We'll see. He could be stronger just off of just carrying the weight. It's a correlation, but doesn't mean that it's like applicable to fighting. You know, so there are people that can, you know, you could bench press. Say I bench press like 200 pounds, but I put in an extra 50 pounds and I'm still doing the same routine. just that weight alone could possibly help me. But it's not really applicable to fighting or combat sports in general. So that extra weight could hurt his cardio. It would definitely hurt his agility. It could hurt his range of motion, his flexibility, his timing, you know, everything. Even it could affect his power because instead of having the power, it'll just make him heavy-handed. Because with power, power is pretty much strength plus speed. If you lose the speed, then you just have strength and you're just using your weight pretty much. And it's just It's like George Foreman. George Foreman wasn't an explosive puncher. He was heavy-handed because he had a dense body. So when he touched you, he crumbled you. And that's what Quentin really has. So he carries.
You know, they always talk about professional sports, you know, and they talk about, you know, a high percentage of it is mental. And when you're talking about combat sports like this, mixed martial arts, where, it's lethal when it's so physical, how much of it is mental? How much of it is the preparation, the psychological approach to a fight to get inside a cage?
I think that it's about probably 85 to 90% mental. The rest of it's just preparation and staying injury free. Because most fighters that step in the cage, they have some type of injury. You know, they're hiding something. Like, we all say we're 100%, but if we're lucky to be like 85% going into the cage. You know, I've never been 100% period. I've usually been about 85 to 90%. At one point, I was fighting at 70%. But it's just a mentality, so you have to get your mind right. You might know, like okay, here's the thing. Your body is sore, you have an injury, but we can work around that by fighting smart and keeping the fight in your strength. So that's the mental part of it.
But as you know, the person you're fighting, and you said it yourself right there, I mean, do you look for how they're fighting to see where they might be injured? I mean, did you sort of seek out the fact that someone you're sparring with might have some sort of, might not be at 100%?
Well, it's different with sparring, because when you're sparring, you're still at work.
Or just getting in the cage.
Now, when you're getting in the cage, I don't think about injuries, because like if you focus on one injury, if you focus on one thing, then you're narrowing what you could be doing.
Yeah, right.
So really, I don't really care about the injuries. I just go out there and try to do what I can do. I fought Chet Congo, and I guess he was injured, didn't know. And he was a big guy, but...
Gigantic.
Yeah, he's huge. But the thing is, the way my style worked... His injury really affected him, because my takedowns, I was taking him down, slamming him, I was hitting him with the foot sweep, I was turning him, so he really couldn't move like he normally does. And even if he was healthy, I would have beat him, because just had a perfect game plan for him.
In studio with us, King Mo, we're talking about his big fight, the MMA, the Bellator 175, the rematch with Rampage Jackson, which is on Friday at the Allstate Arena. We'll be on Spike as well. Yeah, I'm interested in injuries, because... You know, as a fighter, this is what you do for a living. This is serious stuff. I mean, you can get into a cage and have a drag out fight in which, you know, things are sprained, things are broken. Talk about your history with injuries. I mean, you just talked about, you know, you don't always at all ever fight at 100%. What are some of the injuries that you've gone through?
No current injuries, of course. The week of the fight, let's not talk about that.
No, not with the court, just passed. But I could say I probably spent... I could say I probably fought about 6-7 fights with no ACL.
You know, just gone.
Gone. Like, I know I tore my ACL in Japan, came back too soon, tore it again versus Mark Kerr, but just kept on fighting. And then after I lost to Fei Zhao, I got surgery, ACL tore again, kept on fighting, put another one in, and then I got a staph infection. So that year I had staph infection, They put the ACL in, it got infected, they took it out, and then I started healing up, and they put another one back in. So I had 3 ACL procedures in 1 year.
Now, I read, I think it was on your Wikipedia page, just about that staph infection, and that you saw that as sort of a life and death situation.
Yeah.
Talk about that. I mean, you go into a cage and fight for a living, and, you know, your life was almost taken from an infection. I mean, there's something strange about that concept when you think about what you do for a living.
Yeah, like a little bacteria, something you can't see, almost killed me. You know, the infection, it was bad, because, like, you know, when I went in, I went and had the surgery, they stitched me up. I went to sleep like a night or two later, but when I woke up at night, I was like, man, it's hot. I'm like, is the heater on? It wasn't. I was sweating. I was like, whatever, I'm gonna shake it off. Went to the rehab the next morning to rehab my knee. My rehab guy was like, Mo, man, you have two golf ball size lumps in your knee, and your knee's kind of warm. He's like, let me put the sticker on it. He had a thermometer sticker. Put it on there. He's like, okay, it's 105 degrees. We need to go. You need to go to the doctor and get it drained. And I was like, nah, I'm good. It's just healing. It's just blood in there. He's like, nah, just go. So I went. Doctor saw it. He was like, man, this ain't normal. Let me drain it. He put a needle in it. I saw Ghostbuster ectoplasma come from my knee. And he's like, okay, Mo, this ain't normal. Let me run this to the lab. And he ran to the lab. The same day, that night, I'll never forget, it was the night that Chael Sonnen was fighting Rashad Evans. Okay. Right before the main event. Because they're both my boys. So I'm like watching. My doctor calls me. He's like, hey, Mo, come to the ER right now. He found staph in your knee. And we have to do a debridement, flush it out. And then we'll go from there. Go there. They admit me. They have the surgery, wake up, pick line in my arm. And the doctor's like, hey, we're keeping you here for another week and a half. We're going to perform. It was bad, worse than I thought. We're going to perform a surgery every 48 hours till we can flush it out. And
jeez.
Yeah, once they found out I had an infectious disease doctor, he was like, look, they can't keep on going on your knees, so what we're going to do is going to give you like antibiotic IVs to take. I went through five of them, and finally they gave me vancomycin, and the vanco is like, the chemo of like antibiotics. So they gave me vancomycin. I was on that for like a month and a half, and then, you know, finally they're like, well, it's not good. It's not getting any better. We're gonna take the graft out. And once they took it out, and they kept on giving the vancomycin, I got better.
I mean, situations like that obviously come from years of fighting. I mean, that's what that is. And do you think about that when you're in the hospital, when you're in the hospital bed, that maybe it's time to. You know, you're getting older and you're like, maybe if I survive this, if I live, maybe, you know, the cage is not for me.
No, I was thinking like, you know what? This is because here's the honest, you know, crazy. I had staph infection about four times before that. And each time it got worse. I had it in my elbow one time. It was bad. They cut my elbow in, open, flushed it out, and they put gauze in it. And I had to switch it out. That was the last time I had it. Then I had it in the knee. And then they're like, man, look, we give you vancomycin. We're going to take the graft out. Then put the new one back in. Just do your rehab, and we'll see what happens. But as far as fighting, just put that on the back burner. And I was like, really? Put that on the back burner. I was like, I'm going to come back and fight. I was like, I can't just – I'm going to be broke. I was like, what else am I going to do? I was like, I can't – this is my plan A. I didn't have a plan B. I was like, I got these tattoos on my hands and my neck for a reason. So I was like, you know what? I just stuck with rehab. I did rehab 24/7. I'd wake up and do like stuff for my knee. I put the stem machine on my knee and I was icing it and I was doing everything I could. You know, I was massaging the stitches and everything and the staples. And one day, I couldn't walk for a while. I was using crutches and finally.
At the time, I mean, you're saying I'm doing all of this so yeah. I can fight again.
Yeah, and finally, it took me like I couldn't walk for literally about 3 months. I was limping or I was on crutches and it took me. 4 months to where I could walk again. And I was walking, but I had a limp, but I could walk, you know, on my own without crutches. But it was slow, but it took time. And then finally, I started putting weight back on. At that time, when I was sick, I had 102-103 degree temperature for like months. And I was down to 184-185 pounds with my clothes on. So I was like waste away.
But this this is, I guess, for us who aren't necessarily, you know, the. Pay attention to the world of fighters.
Yeah.
These are things that you have to deal with because this is injury. This is the kind of recovery. You know, when you're talking about rehab, you're talking about limping back to get in the ring, you're talking about 24/7 rehab. And let's talk about your life. I mean, you have been a fighter since you were in high school, even before that. I mean, you did wrestling.
Yeah, 16.
But you're, 16. What are you, 35, 36 years old?
I'm 36. I've been competing 36? For 20 years, man.
You've been competing for 20 years. Yeah. You're 36 years old. At a certain point, does your body give out on you to the point where you can't fight with the 22-year-old kids that are coming up? And do you have to think about what's next?
Well, I've been thinking about what's next, but not much, just casually. My thing is, I'm going to stop doing it when it's boring. You know, that's what I did with wrestling. With wrestling, I was like, okay, I wanted to wrestle. I loved it. But then one day I went to practice, and I was like, man, this is boring. I'm not having fun beating up on these guys. I'm not having fun, like, wrestling these guys. I'm like, this is boring. And then... When the moment I felt like I didn't want to practice, when I was like, you know what, it's time for me to change things up. And that's what I did. With MMA, now I love training, I love fighting. I don't like the culture, you know, as much because it's kind of like an internet sport, and everybody wants to be a fighter. You know, it's like a bunch of posers. But the moment I quit and I don't want to train is when I'm going to stop. You know, that's what I told myself. I was like, when I don't want to train no more, that's when I'm going to stop.
Let's talk. I mean, we don't have a lot of time left, but I'm interested in that, the idea of the culture. You know, for you, and I think about this because a lot of people who might listen to my show, not often do we have MMA fighters in here and be able to talk, and there might be some the stereotypes of what a fighter is. I mean, it's sort of an uneducated guy who just comes in there who just wants to bash on other people until they see blood, that kind of thing. I mean, there's a lot of misconceptions about fighters, and that's where that culture comes from, where people on the internet are like, I can punch, I'll do this. There's a lot that goes into this. I mean, you were in college, mm-hmm. You know, you're educated, you have, you were on the U.S. national wrestling team. There's a lot that goes into preparing yourself, not just physically, but mentally, to have a career in MMA.
There's a lot, and I think people underestimate that. They think, you know, it's a fight, I'm going to go out there and just swing for the fences. I meet people, you know, I remember in Texas when I first started fighting, I went back home, and I meet people from, you know, like at the club, they're like, Mo, man, I might fight like you. I'm like, why? I was like, because, man, look, I got into a fight 3 days ago. I got hit with a bottle, and dude tried to stab me. You know, dude hit me with a pistol, and it didn't even hurt me, man. I didn't even go out. And I was like, well, do that when you're tired, because, look, I can punch any of y'all in here, and y'all might not be knocked out. But the moment fatigue kicks in, and you can't think, and you can't stay true to your technique, that's when knockouts happen. And the people don't realize that. It's like it's not about being a better athlete. That helps, but it's about being smarter and being true to your technique. If you can stay true to your technique and have that mental, strong mental conditioning, then you can beat anybody. That's why Floyd Mayweather is undefeated. Like, you watch him, you're like, oh, he's just dancing around, but he don't get hit much. He's mentally, he has strong mental stamina. And that's what a lot of people lack, because you don't see many mental lapses in his game. But that's the difference between, like, professional fighters and people that want to be fighters. It's like, it's all mental. And the guys that want to be fighters just see short term, like, hey, I'm going to go out there and fight for 30 seconds. The guys that are fighters realize, hey, a fight can last 1 second to 15 minutes if it's a 3-round fight, or 1 second to 25 minutes if it's a title fight.
Or Hoi Sakuraba.
Oh, 90 yeah, minutes. Yeah, 90 minutes. Yeah, that,
90
that,
minutes in
now,
Japan.
That was true mental yeah, toughness.
90
right
minutes.
There. Yeah.
Wow.
Until Gracie corner threw in the towel.
Well, Mo, King Mo, it's a pleasure having you here. I know you're in Chicago for the Allstate Arena show or fight on Friday. Bellator 175 comes to town, presented by Spike. You will be fighting the rematch you've been waiting for, Rampage Jackson, King Mo. That's the time. I mean, that if you go anywhere and any of the Bellator stuff, anywhere, that's what everybody is talking about, a big fight this Friday at the Allstate Arena. I can't thank you enough for coming in, sharing your story, and being my guest tonight at the big table.
Thanks for having me. This is great right here. I liked it. I enjoyed this interview.
Thank you.
James, thank you too, buddy.
Thank you.